This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And so great to have you back again. As we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, and all the exciting things that are going on in the science community, today the program is about renewable energies. We're going to have back with us again Russell Smith. He is the executive director of TRIA. Now, TRIA stands for the Texas Renewable Energy Industry Association. Is that, I got this right here? Texas Renewable Energy Industries Association, yes. Headquartered in Austin, Texas, it's the oldest renewable energy nonprofit trade organization in Texas, and having their big conference again this year, it's going to be in Dallas, and Russell's going to come aboard to tell us all about it. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, and our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set in the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. I want to remind those of you listening on radio, you can also hear us commercial-free, online, and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. All right, let's dial up Russell. What do you say?
Russell Smith.
Hey, the famous Russell Smith. This is Colonel Mason. Hi.
Hey, Colonel Mason. Yes, it is I. Tis I.
Wonderful. It's so good to talk to you again. It's been a year, I think, since the last time we had a conversation. I'm so glad to see the Texas Renewables 2014 is back again, and it's in Dallas, right?
Yes, that is correct. It is in Dallas.
So it's going on all week. I mean, actually, you're getting out Thursday, but people can come and enjoy it the entire week. It's going to be held at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel from today through Thursday, and called the Texas Renewables 2014, Shaping Texas Evolving Energy Markets. Tell us what to expect when we attend.
Well, I think if you're interested at all in the future of renewable energy in the state of Texas, you'll be interested in this one. Mm-hmm. We will have some of the top people in all areas of renewables and energy in general speaking on the issues of the day, if you will, related to that issue of the future of renewables. A lot of people are following how the politics are shifting today and what to expect from the legislature and what the impacts might be from the environmental side with the Environmental Protection Agency's greenhouse gas proposed rule. And those sorts of things. So we'll have very interesting panels on all of those topics and more. Plus, we'll have an opportunity for people to network with folks in the industry and to look at some of the company's products and services in our fairly small exhibit this year because we're limited in space, but there will be some exhibitors as well.
Yeah, well, of course, when you have anything at a hotel, of course, there is a limited space. Although the Sheraton has got some pretty sizable exhibit areas, I presume that you are probably filling up a whole bunch of that with a lot of people. And it's interesting to see how things have changed. I mean, you've been at this since what, 1984, I think, when the Texas Renewable Energies Industry Association began. And you're headquartered in Austin. You move it around a little bit. I think that's pretty handy. What are some of the exhibits that we're going to see there?
Well, there are some solar companies that will have exhibits there. There are a couple of electric service-type companies, engineering firms. It's more aimed at the industry. It's not a general public type of event, really. This is our high-level conference. We like to refer to it as the Industry, Government, to Utilities Conference. Those are the three major sectors that participate. And it's the opportunity to explore the links, the joints of intersection, if you will, between those major areas and how they affect one another. So the broad public is not going to really find much there for them. It's a higher level type of thing, and those exhibits are there primarily as a networking place, an opportunity to buttonhole some folks and show them what your latest technology looks like or where you're headed with your development project, that sort of thing.
I see. Okay, it's a way to kind of hold hands with the industry, but I have noticed that several companies are now offering payment plans that enable consumers to install rooftop solar electricities, which eliminates, of course, the first cost sticker shock, and that's quite a thing. And this is going to probably change the whole complexity of how the utilities and the service works. And you mentioned the EPA too, with emission controls that they're going through with those things too. So there's a panel, I understand, made up of some people that are going to be addressing these issues. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, very specifically on what you just mentioned, we do have a panel entitled New Texas Utility Models, Evolution or Revolution. And we'll have Ken Donahue from Encore and Peter Mahoro, who's the Director of Energy Research and Strategy at Pedernales Electric Cooperative, being interviewed by Mr. Dan Seif, who is a consultant with a law firm that focuses on renewables here in Austin called the Butler Firm, to explore their perspectives on how these issues related to the development of renewables are affecting how utility companies begin to proceed with shifting their business model, if you will, because it is forcing a lot of reconsideration of how utilities are structured and how electricity is delivered. And so there is a specific panel on that. And another factor related to utilities will be covered in a wrap-up panel on the last day that has to do with the integration of renewables into the larger overall utility system in the state, titled Integrating the New Texas Blend, that being wind, solar, storage, and natural gas. That combination of resources is where we are headed as the primary or dominant direction, and how to pull those together on a system, given the fact that some of the resources are variable in their availability, and storage is available to even things out, and natural gas as well, plus it's a major base fuel. That's going to be an interesting panel. On that particular one, in fact, we have a really good group. Paul Hudson, who is with Stratus Energy Group here in Austin, which is, I would say, one of the leading consulting organizations in the state when it comes to issues related to electricity. Mr. Brad Jones, who is with ERCOT, he's their Vice President of Commercial Operations, ERCOT being the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which for over 80% of the state organizes the flow, the ins and outs, if you will, of how electricity is handled on the system. And another ERCOT representative, Julia Mantabasian, who is their senior planning engineer, and then Mr. Mike Sloan, who is one of the renewable energy industry's primary consultants through many years with his company, Virtus Energy Research Associates. So a real good panel on a topic which is very germane right now.
Absolutely, and it seems to be becoming more germane all the time. I mean, now with the EPA moving so heavily with the emission controls and more alternative energy being allowed, it's going to have a I would think a dramatic effect on Encore and the other electrical providers in Texas. So, what do you think is going to come out of all this?
Well, there will be some new understanding, we hope, amongst these groups as to what is going to need to be done, and maybe some common direction in policy, or at least some better understanding. understanding amongst the groups about how the next legislative session might unfold. And also, we have a panel on energy storage, which it has become the real hot button in many people's minds for the future of this integration of the grid. And they'll come away with, hopefully, a better understanding of what might be coming ahead soon in the field of electric energy storage. Some of the top people in the nation on this topic will be on that panel. And that's just the beginning. We have some major keynote speakers as well, one of them being the executive director of the Solar Electric Power Association out of Washington, D.C., Julia Hamm. She should be a very interesting presenter. And in our opening session, we have the co-director of SMU's McGuire Institute, or the McGuire Energy Institute, actually, and adjunct professor of business economics at the Cox School of Business. And he is going to try to lay out a big picture, if you will, of how these different resources are reacting and interacting, and the challenges that our current development of natural gas, particularly through the technology of fracking, is having an impact and challenging the development of renewable energy in the state. And then a gentleman named Carl Robigo, a former Public Utility Commission member here in Texas some years ago, who is now with Pace University in White Plains, New York. He's the director of the Pace Energy and Climate Center, is going to follow Mr. Weinstein and his presentation from SMU. So that opening session should be a very interesting one. And on the second day, our keynote speakers, Mr. Mark Armentrout, who is president of Texas Technology Partners out of McKinney, and a former chair of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas himself, is handling a session that features Mr. Mike Green, who has recently retired from Energy Future Holdings. He was with Illuminant for a good period of time as president. He was also an ERCOT board chair, and he's going to address his viewpoint on these issues, followed by Mr. John Reagan, who is the executive vice president and president of the Gulf Coast region of NRG Energy out of Houston, which is, if not the, certainly one of the absolute top, totally integrated energy companies in the country. Pretty active in almost every resource, and that should be extremely interesting. So quite a mix of presenters.
Well, you've got some heavyweights, no doubt, and it certainly is making for a very exciting exciting conference. What are the hours of the conference? If somebody wants to attend, and I guess there's an entrance fee?
Oh, yes. There's registration information available for everyone on the web at www.texasrenewables.org, and that goes straight to the conference website. Mm-hmm. And there are varying fees ranging in the mid-300s to the lower-400s, depending on when one gets on board. There is on-site registration available as well, and that's indicated on the website. The hours are basically Monday evening with the opening reception there at the Sheraton, which starts at 5:30, and then the next day is a full day of conference, which begins with the actual session itself at 8:30 in the morning. And on the second day, the opening session, again, similarly, but at 8:15, kicks off. And both days, it goes until about 5 in the afternoon. On Thursday, after the main conference element of it is over with, there is a tour of some local facilities of interest in the renewable energy and sustainable energy sources field. So we'll be stopping at 3 different sites, and one can sign up for that tour in advance or on site, as long as space is available on the bus that we'll be utilizing for that. And it starts from the hotel at 8 a.m. and returns to the hotel shortly after noon.
All right. Well, let's repeat again. The website is texasrenewables.org, and people can find out all they want to know about the conference there. And this is the first time you've held it in Dallas. I know you move it around a lot. Last year, it seems to me it was it in San Antonio or was it down near the border?
No, it was in San Antonio last year, and the year before that, it was outside of Austin, near Bastrop at the High of Lost Pines. And the year before that, it was in Corpus Christi. And so this year in Dallas, but not for the first time. It's been many years since we've been in Dallas with it, but we've held it in Dallas before. And next year is scheduled for Houston. We are now in a circuit between Houston, San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas. In long past years, we've taken it to many other places in the state, including Midland, Odessa area, and El Paso. So we've tried to move it around to where we find interest and activity going on that we think needs some boost or help in getting going. But those days seem to be past. We're focused now on the major metropolitan areas.
Well, yeah, Midland, Odessa, and those areas. You're there in the jaws of the lion. That's big oil country. Is the price of oil keeps going down dramatically? And of course, with the fracking that's going on, we're getting all this natural gas. Is that going to stymie the development of? The reason I have to ask this because I remember very well back in the late 70s and early 80s when the price of gasoline doubled like overnight, and all of a sudden there was all this talk about renewable energy, and then when the price of gas got cheap again, it all stopped until recently. Do you see the price of gas going down is going to cause an oil going to cause a kind of a halt, or let's say a retard the development of these renewables?
Well, I wish I could say that there was a simple, short, straightforward answer to that question, but there isn't. It's very complex and fluid, if you will, at this point in time. That's a lot of what we'll be exploring at the conference, but the reality of it is that in Texas, in any case, the population continues to grow, the economy is strong, and energy consumption is something that one could expect is going to continue to increase at a time when attention is being increasingly paid to the environmental impacts of all of the sources that we've utilized all these years. And I think, without argument, there will be a steady reduction over time in the utilization of coal as the major electrical production resource. And as a result, other sources must step in. And obviously natural gas is going to be a major part of that, and probably the major beneficiary of this happening over the near term, for sure. Nuclear power appears to be continuing at the level that it is. There's not a lot of projection that there's going to be a huge increase in nuclear power. So in order to meet all of the energy needs that we see in the state, it's going to take a broad mix of resources, and that's where the continued development of wind and solar and biomass to some extent, and in the future potentially geothermal, is going to play in. Nobody who is involved in this industry deeply believes that all of the fossil resources and nuclear power are going to disappear from the scene in the short term. That's just not the way it's going to be. What we are talking about is a blend, and again, the New Texas blend, especially with solar, wind, storage, and natural gas combining in different degrees depending on up and downs in policy and up and downs in economic impacts and so forth. Solar in particular has had a precipitous decline in its cost over the last 2 to 3 years, which changes everything. Policy is important, no doubt, but the pricing for these resources in the marketplace is also a significant factor, and operates to some extent independent of the direction of policy. There are those who argue that we've gone far enough supportive policies, solar will continue to thrive in any case. Others feel that it's going to take a while longer of some real solid support before we reach that point. Wind is further down the path in that respect than solar is. So it's hard to say for sure, but it's going to be interesting no matter how you look at it.
Well, of course, one of the things that have inhibited the rapid growth of renewables, you mentioned earlier, is storage. I mean, the development of batteries has been very slow. We've had storage in, flywheels for the past, 15 years or so, and using that, but that's limited. Storage of water to run turbines has been problematic in many areas where it's got to be pumped up to an area so it can come back down again. But the development of batteries seems to be what we really have to concentrate on. And are you seeing some breakthroughs coming in that?
Well, anybody who follows the electric vehicle world knows that Tesla and what's happening with the battery system that Tesla is using and the projections they're making about building huge battery manufacturing capability and moving beyond potentially just the vehicular world is just a sample of the kind of promise that is lurking out there in battery breakthroughs. We'll know more after the conference because we have some key people who are involved in that field. And that kind of battery has a significant impact potentially for distributed, smaller scale renewable energy systems for sure, and potentially for large scale. There are already some more standard battery storage systems on the utility scale side, which are being monitored over the last 2 to 3 years and looked at as something that can be refined and improved. And potentially have an impact. But I would say more near term than that is the potential of compressed air storage for large scale electric utilities.
Oh, really?
As I understand it, are two or three very large scale projects like that in the wings working their way forward potentially to be constructed here in Texas. We'll see if those come to pass. It's certainly not a highly technical compared to advanced batteries type of storage approach, but it has a lot of complexities in it, and you have to have the right location, and everything has to make sense and work in relation to its proximity to the grid and so on and so forth. So there are other things besides batteries, per se, that are being looked to for storage.
Compressed air, that is absolutely fascinating.
Storing electricity with compressed air, that's a new one on me. I guess we're going to need to do an entire program one of these days on all the ways of storing electricity, an update. Anyway, we're going to have to break at the half hour, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Russell Smith how he feels that a lot of the people in the renewable energy movement are also the same people that are demanding legalization of marijuana. And he has some comments on that. And, of course, I'm going to want to know how all this self-generation of electricity jives with the advances that are being made in the electrical grid at Clovis, New Mexico, where the eastern, the western, and the Texas electrical grids are going to come together at one spot. So more when we come back. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Frank Sinatra.
Fairy tales can come true, it can happen to you. If you're young at heart.
Fear is the enemy of logic. There is no more debilitating, crushing, self-defeating, sickening thing in the world to an individual or to a nation.
For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind. If you're young at heart.